Got an issue you just can't fix?
On the fence about what direction you should take?
Been wrestling with a situation that's out of control? Let's take it out of the Too Hard Basket.
And it's an Arts Week themed Too Hard Basket. This Too Hard Basket is about music being everywhere. Specifically, a neighbor is asking what time of day is it okay for kids to practice musical instruments. Now, as a former school band flautist, I feel attacked. I feel like I've got skin in the game. I'm wounded by this. I want to see what our Too Hard Basketeers also feel about this. Actor, writer, theater maker, and performer Diana Nguyen, and writer, comedian, performer, and broadcaster Sammy Shaw, both, you know, in the arts field again, Arts Week being the theme, my problem-solving partners for this week. Diana, any school band or orchestra instrument disclosures to make before we begin? Oh, well, I can't hear Diana. So, Sammy, how about you? What's your school band disclosure? And we'll try to get Diana back soon.
Oh, we didn't. I didn't grew up in Pakistan, went to school over there. You were actively discouraged from learning any musical instruments because it took time away from your engineering and medicine degree that you were eventually going to do.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're a clean slate. So let me read the dilemma. We've had a complaint. This is from Melanie, who's written to Life Matters to say, we've had a complaint from our neighbors about our kids playing their musical instruments, and they do their practice before they go to school in the mornings. It's not like it's drums or anything. They play flute and piano. So I have also played flute and piano in those years. So solidarity, Melanie. I'm with you. Practicing after school doesn't work as they are simply too tired when they get home. We live on a large block, so the houses are certainly not crammed together. The neighbors have told us it is disturbing their sleep. I will add they also have children. Here's the question. Is 7:30 a.m.? too early to play musical instruments? How should I handle this? What can I do to make it work for everyone? The text line is 0418-226-576 or the ABC Listen app. We're also keeping an eye on the Radio National Facebook page. This dilemma is burning up the page. 300 comments last time I checked. So jump on there if you'd like to comment as well. Sammy, I know you have a 13-year-old daughter. Does she learn or play an instrument, or is she studying hard to be an engineer?
No. She's my daughter. Her father's a comedian. There's no. It would be hypocritical of me to try to put any goals or ambitions in front of her. She's learning how to play the violin. She's been learning for many years. And I currently live in an apartment building. Prior to this, I lived in a house. If my neighbors complained about the noise level of the musical instrument, and violin isn't the most pleasant instrument to hear, especially when someone's at the early stages. I would tell them to. I would actually ignore them. To hell with them. I do not care about your complaints. I don't know why
my child's musical education is, go on.
Listen, we live in a world. I don't know if this person's neighbors are aware of this, but they're not living in the vacuum of space. Sound does travel. Their ears do work, unfortunately for them. Suck it up and deal with it.
So
if you want that much silence,
Sammy,
move into the wilderness.
7:30 a.m. though. I mean, you're a comedian. You have got late nights. Surely.
I live on an apartment above High Street in Melbourne's Northcote area. If you're familiar with High Street, you know that at any point in time, there are at least two people completely on drugs and at least three people completely drunk, yelling and screaming about how the world is out to get them.
Sounds
much
like a good
this person's
time,
neighbors. That happens at 3 o'clock in the morning. And you accept that is going to happen because you live, again, like I said, in a society with other individuals. This whole preciousness about noise levels and, oh my God, my neighbors are so loud and the building next door is noisy or kids are playing music, buy noise-canceling headphones and shut up. Honestly, why do we have to care so much about our neighbors' mental health and peace of mind? They're adults. They can manage it themselves.
All right. Well, Sammy Shaw clearly on the side of Melanie and giving you, Melanie, the big tick of approval to let your kids play their musical instruments at 7:30. I bet Sammy would say, wake up at 5 a.m. and do it too. He would not care. But Diana Nguyen, you are back with us. Welcome back to the program. So
Thank you. What is
your take on having kids play musical instruments at 7:30 in the morning?
Just to disclose, I play piano and recorder.
Oh, wow.
So
recorder.
If it was the bloody recorder, that would not be jamming at 7:30 a.m. I'm opposite. I'm like, I was reading that. I was like, why are your children tired after school? There's a good three, four-hour bracket where they can practice their musical instruments. So I would say, please let me sleep and do the practice in the afternoon.
Do the practice in the afternoon. I mean, that is an interesting point that the kids do get tired. Sammy, as a dad, you know, you see the kind of 3:30 sort of tired, overtired situation. I'm also familiar with that. Do you think that's a legitimate concern that the kids are too tired after school?
Not at all. Not at all. We used to finish school in Pakistan, and then, and I know I'm going to sound like one of those people who's like,
back in Pakistan,
we went to school on a horse and a donkey, and then we got punched in the face by our teachers, you know, all those things.
People are going to think that's true, Sammy.
I mean, some of it's true, but also I'm not going to say I didn't deserve it now and then. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, yeah, we went to school, then we had tuitions, then we had more tuitions, then we went and played cricket till, like, midnight or whatever. That's part of it as well. If your kids are so tired, hydrate them better. Give them some orange juice. Shove a Red Bull in their faces because they've got a world to live in and they have productivity to aspire towards.
Productivity, KPI goals need to be... Now, Sammy, you touched on something about public spaces and existing in public spaces, and which I think is an interesting point, because I remember back when I lived in Kyoto, Japan, one of the most lovely things that I experienced was that in the evenings along the Kamogawa, this, you know, famous, beautiful river, there'd be university students out playing their saxophones, their violins. It was like being in a rom-com, because you'd walk and people would be playing their musical instruments. And it's because they didn't have enough space in the way Japanese people live to be able to play the instruments. So they were going out and playing in the open air, and it didn't seem to be an issue. So do you think there's some kind of like a culture clash going on here?
Oh, definitely. I think what's happened is in Australia particularly, obviously, we're a country with very low population density for a very long time. That suddenly changed in the last generation or so, which if you listen to any boomer, they won't stop whinging about. And basically what's happened is people suddenly have neighbors a lot closer to them than they did before. And neighbors are noisy. And a lot of people from, you know, like have younger kids and things. We used to have a population that was aging, and now we've got a massive young population with kids of their own. And so there's a cultural shift happening when noise levels are increasing. And yes, we know that, you know, too much noise is bad for you, but also too little noise turns you into a psychopath. So, you know, you don't want to be sitting in the silence, just staring into the middle distance, contemplating your own mortality. You want your neighbor's kids' violin music floating into
so
your
apartment. So I see, Sammy, that noise is helping you psychologically in some way. Diana Nguyen, a little bit of pushback. A texter has said, you can start a mower at 7 a.m. in the morning during the week. A flute should be fine. What do you think?
I had opening night last night, and so I really appreciate getting 9:40 for this interview. So,
well, Diana, unfortunately, we can't hear you very well on this phone line. I do wanted to spruik your play, Lorinda, which did have its opening night at the Melbourne Theatre at the MTC last night. And congratulations to you. That's based on Alice Pung's novel, Lorinda. And Sammy Shaw, you've also got a little bit of a project you want to shout out. What is it?
I've written a multi-episode crime noir story for like a radio play. Remember, I don't know if you remember radio plays. They were a thing that used to happen where you'd have full cast production. So, yeah, I've got that. It's out on audible.com. That's audible.com.au. It's out there right now. And it's called The Mist, which is spelled M-I-S-S-E-D and not M-I-S-T. But, yeah, it's a crime noir story set in a small town in Western Australia, which is where all crime happens, apparently.
And is there any kind of noise pollution complaint involved in this at all?
I mean, for realism's sake, I should have put one in, to be very honest. You know, as soon as the crime happened, someone should have said, can you please crime softer? You're keeping me awake at night.
Thank you to you both for coming and helping us solve Melanie's problem. Melanie, I reckon maybe Sammy Shaw is more your flavor in terms of the solution. Keep doing what you're doing. But he also suggests giving your children Red Bull. Take that under advisement. As always, there's a disclaimer that the Too Hard Basket may not necessarily help you solve your problem, but we are very happy to talk them through. If you wanted to send us your dilemma for the Too Hard Basket, feel free. lifematters@abc.net.au.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.